Kids can come on up front with me. Does anyone have Bible time this morning? Oh, you're right. Come on up anyway. I tried to jump ahead a month. Today's still June, isn't it? Silly old Colby. Well, we'll come back up next week and then actually go to Bible time. But we can go ahead and sing a song together. So after this, you're going to go back and see moms and dads. Are we clear? Okay. Make sure I know. Start rolling. Come on. Faster. Show me how you roll. Come on. Come on. Roll the gospel chariot along. Roll, 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 roll the gospel chariot along. Roll, 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 roll the gospel chariot along. And we won't tag along behind. Okay, so that song said, if your brother's in the way, stop and pick him up. So I picked you up, Dylan. Does that mean you're my brother? Are you sure? You are my brother. And Sydney, you know you're my sister? That sounds kind of silly, doesn't it? But you know what? We're all brothers and sisters. We're one big family in Jesus. That means even though you're young and I'm old, that we're still just family. We're still just like brothers and sisters because God loves us all the same, each one of us. And He made us into a family. We are a great big family, and so we got to take care of each other and watch out for each other. Because everyone belongs and everyone is important, okay? All right, go have a seat. I was sitting racking my brains earlier thinking, oh yeah, Bible time, I got to get a song ready. And I did it unnecessarily, but that's all right. Last week we talked about hospitality. And try to remember that far back. But it comes in English, the root word is a Latin word, hospice. And that word in Latin meant a stranger, a foreigner, a different person. An alien, a visitor. That in the root of hospitality, you have this idea of this is what you show, this is what you do for people who you don't know. We talk about hospitality and showing hospitality to one another, and it is a mindset, an attitude, a way of life that is in every interaction with everyone, whether we know them or not, but it's grounded in the idea of how do you treat someone you don't know. That's what hospitality is all about. But there's another word that comes from that same root word, hostile. Hostile comes from that same root word in English. I'm not getting into the Greek today, but just in the English root word, hostile and hospitality come from that same root of stranger. And so you can approach a stranger, someone different, someone you don't know, one of two ways, extending the arm of hospitality or acting with hostile aggression to them. Because you don't know them, because you're afraid of what they might do or afraid of who they might be. And sometimes our world, our culture is pretty hostile to the stranger, but that's not what we're called to be. As Christians, as followers of our Lord, He has made it very clear that hospitality is a godly trait, a godly characteristic, one that we should endeavor for. Because like last week, Hebrews chapter 13 verse 2 says, you never know. Some have entertained angels showing hospitality. And so we should show hospitality to those we don't know as well. Because you never know. There just might be an angel. They might be put there in that place right there from God at that very moment. And it's our responsibility to intervene, to act, to help, and to show them that kindness, that generosity, that hospitable spirit. And so last week, the lesson was entitled, Hospitality Because You Never Know. This week, it's entitled, Hospitality Because You Do Know. We don't know if they're angels or not, but there's some things I can guarantee you whenever you help someone. I can guarantee you things about yourself. Now, we have some visitors this morning, and I haven't got to shake your hand necessarily. I'll try to before you leave and to meet you and to welcome you and to share you. My name's Colby, by the way, if you haven't picked up on that. But I'll learn your name, hopefully, and get to know you what little we can here this afternoon. But even though I don't know you, even though I may have never seen you before, maybe I have, maybe I haven't, I can tell you some things about yourself. I know some things about you because I see it every day whenever I look in the mirror. While you may try to mask it with pride and arrogance, I can pretty much guarantee you have doubts. You have fears. You have questions. You wonder whether you're good enough, wonder whether you have enough, wonder whether you're doing the right thing or not. And you might have very high ideals and morals and ethics. But I can also guarantee that when it comes right down to it, you don't necessarily live up to all of them all the time. You fail. And that only adds to those doubts and those anxieties and those fears. We might mask it. We might put on a nice, very, you know, strong finished coat on the outside so that people can't see it, but they're there. We see it when we take a hard look at ourselves. And we might give reasons or make excuses, but our failures are all too visible. Our mistakes are plain as day, and our sins are open wounds that just keep coming back to haunt us and revisit us. And hopefully we believe in the forgiveness of those sins through Jesus Christ, but even with that belief, I, as a preacher, who read about it, study it, think about it, as a job, you know, all the time, still those lingering doubts, still the wondering, knowing with full confidence that I may know, because the Bible says I may know that that forgiveness is mine because I am in Christ and I've given myself and surrendered to Him, but that doesn't mean I feel like it all the time. I'm plagued by this thing called humanity. And it just keeps on coming back to revisit me, even though I'm trying to change, even though I'm trying to let the Lord change me into a new creation. All that old stuff likes to hang on. And I know that about you, again, because I know it about me. So whoever we meet, wherever they're a stranger from a different country, from the other side of the world, from down the block, it doesn't matter. We all share in this humanity. There's good aspects of it. Humanity is very beautiful. God made it that way. He created us in His likeness. And there are some amazing qualities of humanity that are rich and good, the things that we get directly from Him. But then there are the things we've twisted, the things that we've maligned, the things that we have fallen short on, fallen short of the glory of God. And we all stand there on equal footing, not with the pride of knowing we're so good, but rather with the desperate understanding that we need mercy, we need grace. And so whoever a stranger might be, they're not that different from you. Sometimes we think they are. They might act very different, might put on a very different persona, might have a different cultures, different ways of doing things, that it might be unsettling or strange or confusing. But when it comes down to it, they are sinners who need to be saved, like I still am. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 9, Paul's writing to the church there, reminding them of what to stay away from and reminding them of where they used to be. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 9. Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that's very abrasive. That's very... some of that maybe is not on our radar screen, but maybe some of it is. Some of it's a little bit closer to home than others. But verse 11, and that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. That we are human. We have fallen. We have made mistakes. We have lived in ways that are contrary to the plan and to the guidance of God. We are all there, whether I know you or not. We've all been there. The good thing is we can be changed. Hospitality is kindness to strangers because we know that even though we might see some of their mistakes, we might see some of the ways they do things, quote unquote, wrong, we know God loves them. And we know that they are not that much different from me. And therefore, it is my duty, my obligation to reach out to them, to be hospitable, not just giving of a gift, but with a kind heart, with a listening ear, with an open mind. Fulfilling our commitment to our God and doing things the way that He has shown us to do them, but all the while knowing that I'm not that great. And when it comes right down to it, we're all in the same boat. Sometimes I've used the frame, well, I don't know you from Adam, or maybe somebody's used it with you. And why should I trust you? I don't know you from Adam. Well, that's reason to trust right there. Just like I was talking to the kids. In Christ, we are one family, but even all of the human race is one family. We all come from Adam. If we want to go any further, we all come from Noah. We're all connected. We are all supposed to be interconnected. And so, I don't know you from Adam. That should be a, hey, you're my brother, come here. We aren't that different. Regardless of what we might look like, regardless of where we might have been from, or our culture, or again, all those things that make other people look so different and strange from us at times. We're connected. We're family. We are all children of God, made by God. I was reading an article the other day. I went down here to the Chinese restaurant, sometimes Lisa and I do, and I was waiting on our food, and they had magazines stacked up there. And I don't know what magazine it was, but the cover article or whatever piqued my interest. Maybe you've seen it or read it or similar stories about Barack Obama's brother, his half-brother, who is African, living in Africa, and actually has political aspirations over there. I forget what country it was. But another son of the father. Now, Barack never knew his father. Never grew up with it. He was raised by a single mother. But the interview was with this half-brother over there in Africa who has his last name, Obama. And in the interview, they're talking to him about being Barack Obama's half-brother, and his initial response is, all I've heard is half-brother, half-brother, half-brother. You don't understand. We're brothers. There's no half about it. Now, speaking from an African heritage, you know, he said, people in my clan who are my distant cousins are my brothers. We don't draw those lines of separation that you Americans do. Very thought-provoking article. And I thought, well, why do we have to draw these lines of separation? Because all of humanity really is a brotherhood. And we should treat each other like that. Doesn't mean we're perfect. I couldn't be included if that was the case. It doesn't mean that there are those who have committed huge grievances and whom God has dealt with vengeance justfully so. But when it comes down to it, we are connected. And that is reason to show hospitality, to look at the stranger and rather than have apprehension and fear or hostility, to say, you know what? I'll treat you as my brother. I may not know you. I might not look anything like you. But we are from the same God living on the same earth. And because of that, we should show each other a good amount of respect and generosity and kindness. Matthew 12, verses 46 through 50, Jesus is sitting in a house and it's crowded and the people say, "Hey, your mother and brothers are here." And he says, "No, they're not." They say, "Your mother and brothers are outside." He says, "No, they're not. They're not outside. They're right here. You are my mother and my brothers and my sisters. Those who do the will of my Father are my family." We have a different understanding of family. And even if they may or may not be Christians, we can regard them with a certain amount of optimism. Lisa laughs whenever I use that word because I'm not inherently optimistic. But I can regard other people with that sense. I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt because I want them to give it to me because we're connected. Hospitality should be a way of life because we strongly believe and are convicted that God made us and that we are all His children. Now, there are evil people out there, and we're related to them as well. And because of that, we can't just throw caution to the wind and not take any kind of steps of protection of life and body and those kinds of things. To know that, you know, there are certain things that are inherently dangerous, and so maybe we shouldn't engage in that or open ourselves up completely. But at the same time, we should not let those that are evil determine our attitude and our interactions and our focus. In 1995, the Edward R. Murrow Building in Oklahoma City was bombed. That's ancient history now. After 9/11 and other things have happened, it's largely forgotten. It happened in April, 2 months ago. Well, 2 months and 20 years ago. But 1995, I remember that day, and I was in Texas still going to school, but I went to Oklahoma Christian University in 1997, just 2 years later, and it was that year that the memorial opened. It took them 2 years for them to clean everything away and to do and to plan a memorial and have the memorial. And Lisa went there. I never actually went there. I keep on planning. I want to go. We go to Oklahoma. We just went there the other week, and I keep thinking one of these trips I'm going to stop and actually go to it because it sounds really neat. They have empty chairs, one for each person, some for the children, some for the adults that were killed in that bomb, and that's part of the memorial, and lots of other things. And it's also a little bit of a research library. But one interesting thing about it is, and the lady who helped to plan it, she came and spoke to us while I was a student at OC. And one thing she said was, there is no security. None at all. No security guards, no metal detectors, no anything to keep the bad people, to keep the terrorists away. And they did that on purpose because they weren't going to let the terrorists win. They weren't going to let Timothy McVeigh win and keep them in a spirit of fear and apprehension. Rather, it was open. Anyone could come. And of course, if something happened, they would call the police. I mean, they would use a certain amount of common sense judgment. But at the same time, they weren't going to let those who are evil determine their attitude and their approach. And that's a good example to follow. The movie Patch Adams, starring Robin Williams. And in that movie, his very close friend, and well, they were romantic, and she dies. And come to find out, the true story is it was a guy friend who died, but who was killed by a mentally unstable patient. And in the movie, he wrestles with that, but in the movie, he also comes to the conclusion that I'm not going to let him win. I'm not going to let that experience win. I'm going to reach out to the next person with the same kind of kindness, generosity, with that same open attitude, knowing that it might happen again, but if it does, I did what I needed to do, and any guilt or anything else is on their shoulders, not mine, because I responded. And that's hospitality. We might be taken advantage of. Somebody might take advantage of our hospitality. That is a possibility. It's almost a guarantee if you're show hospitality very often. But the thing is, it's worth it. It's a worthwhile cause, even with that inherent risk. Romans chapter 12, verses 20 and 21. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. That sound familiar? What Trevor just read is talking about the least of these. If they're hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them the drink. Here it says enemy. If they are your enemy, feed them. Give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Now that doesn't mean you're going to somehow cause him pain. To heap burning coals on your head means that you're sorry. You would stir him to repentance. You would stir him to wanting to change his ways. Just like they repented in dust and ashes. To heap burning coals on someone's head wasn't to get back at them, but rather to help them change. And then verse 21, do not be overcome by evil. Don't let evil win. Don't play by evil's rules, but overcome evil with good. That is a godly message and one that we have to strive to put into practice. Even if it's hard, even if it's challenging, even if it's uncomfortable, we don't overcome evil with evil, but we overcome evil with good. And so be hospitable to strangers because of what you do know. Because you know they're a human just like you, because you know that God made them just like He made you. And that they are worth something great in God's sight, just like you. But even more than that, the Christian has an even stronger obligation to help the stranger, to show hospitality, to help those they would not otherwise want to be inclined to help. And that is over in Matthew 25, what Trevor read. And this is one of my go-to sections of Scripture. I go to it because I constantly need to go to it for myself. To remind myself what all this religion is really all about. Because Jesus made it black and white, or maybe in your case, your Bible red. But it's there. Obvious, plain, simple. What's going to determine where you spend eternity? How you treated the person you didn't know. How you interacted with them. How you interacted with the person whom you had the least regard for. Did you treat them not like an angel? Hebrews talks about that. Some have entertained angels. This isn't entertaining angels. This is even stronger. This is entertaining Christ. Now you may, at one point in your life, I don't know, entertain an angel. I don't know if I ever have. Doesn't matter. Hopefully I did what was right regardless. But I can guarantee you, you have entertained Christ. Every single interaction you've ever had, you've been face to face with your Lord. How have you treated them? Have you shown them true hospitality? Even that person at the bottom of that ladder, even that person whom you had the least regard for, because that's what Jesus says, whatever you did to the least of these, not to the best of these. I can tell you all the times I've been hospitable. And I might even run out of fingers and toes and be pretty proud of myself. Because I've shown hospitality to this person and that person and this person and that person. Well, the only one that really counts is the least one. How did I treat the one with whom I had the most contempt? How did I treat the one with whom I was most likely to lose my patience? How I treated them is how I treated Christ. Just like last week we talked about the Good Samaritan. The priest and the Levite probably had lists of all the ways they had been hospitable. but it was that stranger on the side of the road whom they had disregard for. That was their neighbor, and that's how they ended up treating Christ. The one you ignore, the one you dismiss, the one you discount, be careful. They're the one by whom you'll be judged. And so hospitality is based on what you do know. There's a lot of unknowns. We don't know who they are. They might even be angels, for all we know. But they're a lot like yourself. They're in this human race and therefore a part of this human family, just like yourself. And they are the embodiment of your Lord and Master. And so we offer the invitation this morning. And I invite you, because, well, I know you're a lot like me. And I know you've made mistakes. And I know you've messed up. And I know that you've been wallowing in the pit. Because I have too. So if you need to be freed from that, it's no surprise. That's the human condition. And we eagerly want to share in that moment with you as you give yourself to Christ, as you put Him on in baptism and make Him your Lord and your King. And I also regard you as my brother and sister. And if you need prayers, encouragement, help, comfort, whatever it might be that we can offer, our hospitality, whether we know you or not, with that hospitable spirit, wanting to help in whatever way we can, if you need that, again, we'd love to be here for you. But more than anything, know that God did not regard you as a stranger. Know that God has been hospitable to you, not hostile. You were apart from Him. You were separate from Him. You were a stranger. You were an enemy of Him, Romans chapter 5 says. While we were still sinners and while we were enemies, that's when God reached out the hand showing the most powerful hospitality ever shown, saying, come and be with me. And if you need that, again, please come as we stand and sing.